information is free.
The law.
There is hope.
Mommy says don't play with fire.
Ah! Oh, thank God.
That's hot.
But Mommy says it's okay to play everything.
Cool.
If you don't like them, I'm sure your sister will.
Hey, babe, you want to go out?
Hi, hello, and hey, welcome to this week's episode of The Quiddicast. The name is Larry, and it's an absolute pleasure being here with you for yet another week, and we should talk about all the crazy things that happened this past week. Like, let's just unpack all of them. Let's just talk about them. What's happening this week? I'm going to go through the news, first of all, but later on, I'm going to talk about living together in sin, you know, as they call it, and what religious people call it. Like, living together before you get married, is that I'm going to get your views and that sort of thing, and then see what happens. And then we're also going to talk about teenage suicide. So, yeah, those are two things, two of our main topics. But first, in the news that were stuff that happened this week, Bev was rumored to have committed suicide. Oh, not committed suicide. She was rumored to have been stabbed to death. And social media going wild, like, once again. Turned out it wasn't true. It's just, like, so weird. Like social media just gets out of hand. Like, why are we obsessed with the death of people? I'm making up stories about death. It's just weird. From what I hear, some people make up stories about themselves. I think there was one called, one time apparently Lady Squander did that, which is weird. I'm not suggesting that Bev could have done that. I think she's got enough poll issues at the moment to do that. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's like so weird. Like, yeah. Whatever. Also happening this past week, Anne Kansiime. News came out that Anne Kansiime could be coming to Zimbabwe on the 14th of November. At least, well, in effect, she put it up on her website that she'll be performing in Zimbabwe. So I think from pictures I've seen from her website, she does a lot of stand-up as well. So it should be interesting. People are used to seeing her viral videos and that sort of thing. So it'd be interesting to see what she looks like, or what she sounds like, or whatever performance she's doing. Even if she does in person, she's won loads of awards. So yeah, definitely she's probably worth the salt at least. Also happening this week, the president of Zimbabwe read the wrong speech. Did you guys see that? That was just so weird. He reread the State of the Nation address. Instead of reading the opening of Parliament one. I like the part of the opening Parliament one, you know, where you talked about the fact that public officials will have to declare, you know, their interests and so forth when they get into public. I mean, you know, you want to have that, right? You know, declare their assets and sort of thing. But it's just so weird. How do you give the president the wrong speech, though? I mean, you have one job. You're the person who hands over the right speech to the president and give him the wrong one. It's just weird. It's just, I don't know. Avenues Clinic this past week, that was really strange. Got flooded. Anyone can get flooded, to be honest. It's just like, yeah, it's one of those things that can just happen. But they were able to respond to him quite quickly. So I think it was just for a limited period of time. For people who were housed at the institution, who were patients there, they say that in no time the plumbers had worked in it and sorted it out. Yeah. But it was weird. It was like, you know, I don't know. Just seeing the pictures is like, wow. It's just like crazy. Finally, Monday night open mic is on this coming week at the Book Cafe. For me, what makes it all strange is the fact that, well, you know, not many venues try to do open mic at their venues. Like, a lot of them are open on Mondays, and there's nothing really happening. But imagine if they decided we're going to do open mic. You know, let's have open mic and try and find new nuggets and performers and that sort of thing. You never know what you could unearth, really. People are sitting out there that don't have stages to perform, that's all. So, yeah. Open mic at the Pamberi Gardens, ex-book cafe in the back entrance and sort of thing. It's going to be back. So shout out to them. And then finally, remember, Shoko Festival is on between the 24th and 26th of September. That's the thing. The tickets are $5. You get to watch Casper and Your Vest for $5, or Wusi as well for $5. It's like, you know, not really good to that. And, they'd also, in Chitungusa Junior Browns could be performing there. So it's Gatsby Warrior, Simbiz, and all a bunch of people could be performing there. So yeah, so pretty excited about that. It's happening at the Zimbabwe Museum of Human Sciences. Yeah, so they call it, that's the museum, the National Museum, for those who, like, kind of think, like, what the hell is that? As well as in Chitungwiza. So, yeah, make sure you make a date, tickets available already. So, yeah, be there, be square. On the other side, we talk teenage suicide. Third name is Larry. You're listening to the Quiddicast. This past weekend, we woke up to some of the really sad news. We found out that the daughter of the young daughter of the youngest daughter of Chiwoniso Malaida with Andy Brown. Chiedza Brown had taken her own life, and she was 15, and it was like wow, it was, you know, it was just one of those things. I'm just sitting there, I'm just like, oh gosh, like I you just don't know how to digest that information. Someone so young and full of promise, and I had met her a couple of times, and she was such one of the most optimistic people that I'd ever met, and she was just, you know, she looked like she was just planning some amazing things in her life. She's an amazing bira player and that sort of thing, and she was just, yeah, she's just a beautiful child. So sad. You know, it gives you a level of hopelessness and frustration, and if it's devastating for someone like me who is just on the periphery, to be honest, imagine what's happening with family, friends, Amara Brown and so forth, and the community she lived in, the friends she had and so forth, classmates and neighbors, you know, wondering if they could have done something to prevent what caused that. And there were so many discussions that happened. It's things that I can't corroborate that have been in the public spaces. But, you know, all that stuff happened. It's just so sad. And so I went online, you know, you start thinking to yourself, like, what drives kids to do this? And I thought about statistics. And it's just really strange. You know, unfortunately, a lot of the statistics that are available are out to do with the United States and that sort of thing. But you find out that in the United States, suicide is like teen suicide is the second leading cause of death for ages 10 to 24. That's just like mind blowing. The second leading cause of death for college aged youth. So that's talking about people between the ages of 12 and 18. It says more teenagers and young adults die from suicide than from cancer, heart disease, AIDS, birth defects, stroke, pneumonia, influenza, and chronic lung disease combined. This is information from Jason Foundation. I think they got it for Center for Disease Control. Each year in the United States, an average of over 5,400 attempts by young people between grades 7 and 12. 4 out of 5 teens who could attempt suicide have given clear warning signs. So a lot of times I think, I know this happens a lot in Zimbabwe. I'm trying to bring it back home here. When we kind of like, if someone's having issues, we just kind of expect them to just walk it off, you know. Say, you know, just, that sort of thing. And this is a frightening stat. Girls think about and attempt suicide twice as often as boys, and tend to attempt suicide by overdosing on drugs or cutting themselves. You know, but boys die from suicide 4 times as often as girls because they tend to use more lethal methods such as firearms, hanging or jumping from heights and that sort of thing. And, you know, in all of this, I think you think of that song by Babyface Babyface and Eric Clapton was, no, Stevie Wonder, How Come, How Long? You know, so you want to just be involved. Sometimes maybe parents are so close to the situation and you know, they don't see the signs as often as other people do. But if you're on the outside, just get involved. Right now, we've lost a really, really young life and a young promising life. I think a lot of us might have seen signs, but we never thought it could escalate to such a thing. Because you're like, you know, it happens to other people. It doesn't happen to people that you know. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, famba zvakanaka, Chiedza, you know, and you'll be dearly missed by those who are around you and those who hold you in such high regard. And yeah, and to the family, Amara and everybody else, and you know, our hearts go out to you. Yeah.
Yo, Stone Boy representing, you don't know, for Africa, for Ghana. You're listening to the Query Cast with Larry. Bim! Ah, boy, keep it up.
The name is Larry, you listen to the Crewcast, and this past week on the socials, this is my WhatsApp and as well as my Facebook, I asked the question, what do people think about living together before you get married? You know, some people think, oh, yeah, no, you can't live together until you get married. And other people think, like, yeah, you've got to test the ground first. I'm not really going to preempt what people said. I'm first going to go through the WhatsApps, and then we're going to go through as much of the Facebooks as possible. And I'll give you a little bit of my opinion.
I think it depends if you are a girl, you know, like if you're a teenager or if you're still young, just going and living with a man, I wouldn't advise a young lady to do that, really. Because if there's a chance of you getting married, why not just getting married and then you can still live together? There's no problem, really, because you still be together anyway. And then looking at mature people, you know, maybe you've been married before or you're mature, you know what you're doing, or you've been married, it's okay, you can live with a guy before you get married or before a wedding. Then in the pipeline of living together or in the pipeline of being together, you then decide, some men or some guys, they then decide to marry you. I've seen people getting married after maybe a long, long time, like some of my parents, you know, Anamai Guru, she got married after she had like 5 kids.
My journey in terms of cohabitation before marriage is, I've been with my fiance for 4 years now. We got engaged in our 4th year anniversary. My journey with him has been amazing, fantastic. Our personal decision for all the years was, you know, to share. We always used to stay at each other's houses and share a bed, and that was never a problem. We made the decision quite early on in our relationship that we'd abstain from sort of all sexual contact, and we've, you know, with God's help, we've been actually able to do that. Of course, we have made some mistakes along the way, but generally, you know, we've been able to keep ourselves from each other, and we're just, you know, in a place where we can just share a bed now, and there's no awkwardness or sexual tension there. However, only in the last couple of months, I just feel like God's been speaking to me, and I feel quite convicted recently about sharing a bed with him. And he's not my husband. It started with sort of the odd church message, or, you know, friends saying things to me. Not me personally, just I just felt God was really speaking in lots of different ways to communicate that maybe this wasn't really his best for me. And when I sat down and thought about it, my personal decision is to do things according to God's will and to build a foundation in my marriage and in my relationship that's based on what God desires, not what I desire, but what God desires. So I've made the decision in the last couple of months to, you know, to stop staying over each other's houses now, and we don't, you know, share a bed anymore until we're married. It's really difficult. It's really, really hard after 4 years to do that and to separate ourselves from each other.
I think it's not okay for us to live together before marriage, just because the guy can relax. Even when I'm not with him, relax. The best strategy, we should first get married, then we stay together.
Well, I think it's wrong, because if we just live together, upon no commitments, no guarantees, you can move on quickly.
Hey Larry, with regards to living together before you get married, my personal opinion, I think that if the couple is mature, at least if they're above 30 years old, then go for it. But besides that, it may not be a good idea. But I think if they're a mature enough couple, yeah, why not live together? But what are you waiting for? Stop wasting time. Just get it done.
For me personally, I think cohabitation is something that you need to search for yourself. Like, how do you feel about it? You can have a cultural conviction, you can have a religious conviction towards it, but it is something that you just need to do according to what you're comfortable with. If you and your partner are comfortable with living each other before marriage, I don't see anything wrong. The only problem is that you might have to live with a few people before you get married, which is probably like more longer term than a cohabitation relationship. I'm not saying that people don't have long-term relationships before they're married, but like, it's more likely that you will have a longer term relationship when you're married. So for me, in that essence, I would rather not have a cohabitation relationship and wait till I get married.
So those are some of the comments from people who I responded on the WhatsApp platform, and yeah, that's what they had to say. Now, looking at those who responded on the Facebook, some people said, "I think if you this is Dumar, I think if you settle into cohabit, it's a very real reality that it is likely to be the optimal level of that relationship. Not to say cohabitation does not make for happy homes and long relationships, just to say that it really goes legal unless you live in a state that is recognizes common law marriages." Yolanda says, "Different strokes for different folks. People want different things in life. Some are happy with cohabitation, some aren't. At the end of the day, it's about individual fulfillment or happiness or whatever. I personally see no problem, although it goes against what we are taught in church, etc. I've seen people that live together for years actually getting married eventually. Married or not, you know if a relationship will last or not. It has nothing to do with a piece of paper or sharing the same roof." Aaron says, "My husband and I cohabited before we were married, and we have a very happy, strong, and stable marriage." There we go. Somebody coming out there. "We knew everything we needed to know about each other and our respective habits before we're legally joined, and I personally think it is the way to do it. And also, just because you live together, it doesn't mean you have to have sex if that's your issue." Also, Lila Sansola said, "You never really know a person until you live with them. You learn how they think, how they are with money, the value they place on everything. I think if more people cohabited, people's expectations for marriage would be more realistic." Dirk says, "You don't really know what you can deal with, each other's nonsense. You know, don't really know if you can deal with each other's nonsense until you've tried living together. People should live together at least a year before marriage." Jackie says, "By the time you dated, then move in together, you're pretty serious, right? Just moving in as a roommate is a business arrangement. Weddings are celebrations with family and friends that you're committing to each other. You can do that privately with no wedding, but marriage gives you rights. You commit to fidelity, loyalty, support, sharing, and that sort of thing. The marriage provides a legal framework too." Rudo says, "Cohabiting is an easy option for men or even women who don't want to commit. It's a sin for a man and a woman to live together while being married. Fair enough, it's a piece of paper. But then what's wrong with getting that piece of paper and securing a union as requires in the eyes of the Lord?" Just looking at that, Artendo says, "Cohabiting is a form of marriage. At law, even in Shona culture and tradition, kubika maphotho imwe inzira yokurora." Brian says, "Cohabiting is cool. I don't mind. But once your family hears you're in such, you are ostracized, labeled as an outcast." And finally, Bongani says, "Cohabiting is okay as a temporary arrangement before marriage, but not as a permanent arrangement. I think couples should move in together for some time before they can fully commit. The African culture of keeping your daughter on a leash until her wedding day is really outdated in this modern society." Now, what do I think on the subject? I think it's down. I've always said individual choices. You've only got one life to live. And if you guys can deal with whatever you're dealing with, and you got your arrangement, you understand each other and that sort of thing, then go ahead with it. I think life has just become too flimsy for people to sit there and say, "I need you to do things the way people did them 300 years ago. 300 years ago, they were trying to figure it out. Nobody's lived before, so, you know, and nobody's ever been exposed to the circumstances we're living in nowadays. The pressures, the different pressures that we have today, there are similarities and that sort of thing, but it's not quite the same." Yeah, so I'm going to say, just do what you can. Just figure it out as you go. Nobody's figured this out. It's flimsy. Just do it. And with that, I say thank you very much for joining me on this week's Criticast. Join me on ZFM Stereo on Friday between 6:30 and 7 on the Switch. And on Tuesdays, I'm starting a new show, Tuesday Night Football, or taking off a show that was there, Tuesday Night Football, that I'll be anchoring and keep it exciting. We'll talk about everything football, crazy, you know, and all that sort of thing. So it's going to be a sports program. Also on ZFM Stereo between 6 and 6:30 on Tuesday. Mark your date. Other than that, get in touch with me by email, info@ladiquirirai.com, or on Twitter @quirirai. Other than that, take care of yourself and the people that you love. And what I leave with this week is saying, the end of time may be coming or may not be coming. Just keep living. Them is Larry. It's been the Criticast. Take care of yourself.
If you don't like them, I'm sure your sister will.
Hey, babe, you want to go out?